Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And you're listening to episode 816 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris, and I'm here with Pete.
And I'm not on mute.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing exceptionally well. Had a real good time yesterday. Went down to Miami, visited the family. It's always good to go and just have that chance to just unwind. No expectations. You're with your family. You know what I mean? It's just, I had a really good time yesterday with the family. So a couple of days ago, I sent you, and we've got, you know, me, you, Danny, and a certain unnamed industry person on a text chat string. And I sent a picture of like a moving trailer with the logo of Infinity, with Marvel's, you know, Avengers Infinity on it to you guys. And I didn't get the response I wanted. And I told my uncle yesterday, he's a big comic collector, right? And I was like, hey, did you see the Infinity trailer? And he was like, oh, no. And so I handed him the phone, and it was the picture of like the, you know, the car trailer with just the word, you know, Avengers Infinity. And the look of disappointment on his face was so extreme. We all were like laughing and dying, cracking up. But he was just like, I hate you. That's it. You're out of the will. No more comic books for you. it was just such a great time. It was good. It was good.
That's good. That's good. And yeah, myself, my mom took her to the airport yesterday. So she was here for 2 weeks, which was good. Mm-hmm. It's great to be able to see my mom and, you know, for her to be able to see the kids and the whole thing. So that was a great time. Holiday stuff is over, as you already know. Freaking stupid week at work this week. Which, hey, if people from work are watching, you know what the hell I mean. But before we get into the show proper, matter of fact, you know what? Before we jump into this, let's let everybody know where they can find us and send us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Right, and if you want to find us, find us over at gamertagradio.com. You can find us over at Audio Boom. If you want to subscribe via the RSS feed, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Google Play, whatever your favorite RSS feed catcher is, you can find Gamertag Radio. Tune in, everything. We're everywhere. So Spotify. See, I always try to think of a clever one. I couldn't think of a clever one that time, so I paused. Yeah, I was going to, because I always say Intellivision to ColecoVision. I was trying to think of something. TurboGrafx-16. That's what I'll use next time. But moving on with the show, before we actually get into gaming stuff, Pete, I got to do it. We got to go into the pop culture world right now.
Let's go.
Because there was a major announcement this week that made me sad.
Yes.
But it also, I was expecting it. Mm-hmm. And that was the cancellation of Daredevil on Netflix. Right. You know, we've seen season three. I've been a huge fan of Daredevil since the beginning. To me, of the Netflix shows, it was always just the top tier, you know, show on there. And season three was just kind of the absolute culmination of everything that they've done over the past. God, has it been 5 years, 4 or 5 years or whatever they've been doing this Netflix, Marvel MCU stuff? And sad to see it go. But with the current climate, with Disney starting their own streaming service, just Netflix, the escalating costs of renewals, of Netflix having to try and keep these characters when Disney has made it very clear, we're not going to let you add anything else to it. The characters you got is all you will have, and having to try and build around that. I actually understand why Netflix is doing what they're doing. And don't get it twisted. Jessica Jones and The Punisher will get canceled after they premiere in 2019 as well. Netflix is done, because for Netflix, it makes more sense to invest their money into their original content, into the content that they own and control, versus still trying to get content from a third party such as Disney, especially when Disney has no incentive to play fair with them anymore, or to work with them, or give them a deal on renewal fees or anything. So, you know, had a great run. They're washing their hands of it, and they're going to move on. Disney obviously has said that Daredevil, the character, will live on. But like I tweeted, and after the way season three ended, it was very fitting. I think Daredevil can end the way that it did in season three. I won't spoil anything, but hey, good luck replacing Charlie Cox as Daredevil or Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin. Good luck. That is literally trying to replace Heath Ledger as the Joker, which we've already seen DC struggle with that. And we'll see what happens with this next incarnation of the Joker on that side. But I'm bringing all that up because I'm actually very curious to hear your thoughts on this, Pete, and what you think about Daredevil and everything that's happened.
Agreed with you with regards to Daredevil. I think it's a shame that we're not going to see what was planned out. And I think you had tweeted out or you had retweeted an executive producer of Daredevil. They had the entire season four ready to go, mapped out the entire storyline, and said that Marvel fans were going to love what was coming because they had a lot of things that, you know, the comic book community was anticipating or looking forward to with regards to Daredevil. So I agree. It hurts, especially because in my personal opinion, season three has been the best Marvel Netflix series episode, you know, like season out of all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, Daredevil, throw Punisher in there, throw in the first season of Luke Cage, which I loved, throw in the first season of Jessica Jones. Yes, I understand that Jessica Jones is in production. I don't need a third season. I don't want Jessica Jones to be the last thing that I taste in this whole Marvel Netflix thing.
Just to cut in really quick on that, they've already filmed Jessica Jones and The Punisher. Those are in the can. So right. I think what's going to happen is you'll get Jessica Jones first. Punisher will basically be the last thing that we'll see.
Thought Punisher season two was coming early 2019, and with the season three of Jessica Jones just wrapping, that would be the last thing that we got to see.
You could be right. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be.
I don't think they've put a date. I don't think they've put a release date on that. But like I said, I don't want Jessica Jones to be the last thing I taste coming out of this whole Marvel Netflix partnership that they had. Right? If they swapped it and gave me Punisher season two as the last thing I see, that might spray a little of the cooling agent on the burn, right? That might be a little aloe on the burn and makes it go away a little bit, you know, easier for me. But yeah, man, that leaves a salty taste in my mouth. And then I saw, I think it was a couple of posts. I think one was a Comic Book Resource or something like that. Marvel stated that if you're expecting another Daredevil-ish Marvel, you know, the violent, the gritty, the hardcore view of what we were seeing on the Netflix side on the Disney streaming service, it's not happening, you know? So yeah, I know they said that they're, you know, you'll see Foggy and crew back again, but I don't think we're going to see them in the way that we saw them.
No,
in Netflix.
No. And I wouldn't have expected that anyways, because you have to remember Netflix owns this version of these MCU characters,
this multiverse.
You know? So it wouldn't have been as simple as, oh, we're just going to move them over to Disney Plus. Like literally I say literally a lot. I got to stop doing that. the seasons that aired on Netflix would stay on Netflix. So it would almost be this confusion of you'd have to have Netflix and you'd have to have Disney Plus, and you'd have this continuing story happening on Disney Plus. And it was like, oh, but by the way, if you want to see what happened before, subscribe to Netflix and go to the other one. So it just makes sense. Just cut the ties now, make it a clean cut, and whatever they decide to do with these characters moving forward, do it. I'd like to see Daredevil turn into something on Disney Plus. It's just take a break, though. It's going to be very hard to replace these characters the way we remember them. Same with the Punisher as well, because I really enjoyed that first season. That's another character that's going to be iconic. That's going to be hard to just, oh, we have a new actor and a whole new storyline and cast. No one's going to want to see that.
And he did such a great job as the Punisher, seeing John Bernthal as Frank Castle. It's funny how when everybody saw him in The Walking Dead as Shane, and then it was like he would be the perfect Punisher. And then he started, you know, pushing for the role. and then it happened. And now it's like, I don't want another Punisher. It's kind of like you said, I don't want another Joker. I don't care how everybody says, you know, was it Joaquin Phoenix is going to do a great job with his role. I don't want to think about the Jared Leto ridiculousness. I've seen who I want. I want Heath Ledger. I know I'm never going to get another Heath Ledger Joker. I don't want another. And we've already, this will be what, our third iteration of Punisher between Thomas Janet and
Magno, fourth,
and the guy who played Drago.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got Dolph Lundgren, you got Thomas Jane, and then you got the guy that was in Rome. Oh man, I forget his name now, but this is actually the fourth.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want any more. I don't want any. I'm going to be that petulant child screaming, kicking at the dinner table. I don't want another Frank Castle.
No, I agree. I mean, it is what it is. Look, I know we're talking about Paper Tuna. What the hell is this? What's the video game? But we just wanted to get this out of the way. No, I agree. It's an interesting time to see what's happening. So let's wrap this up. And I want to bring this up. Collider hosted the Russo brothers. They had an Infinity War screening here in LA earlier this week, and I tried to go, and turns out I couldn't go. Thank God I didn't, because I am not going to lie to you, Pete. I would have been on fire mad at the end of that, because I fully expected to be Avengers 4 trailer that they were just going to, that was going to be the premiere of it at this thing. So good thing they said ahead of time, nope, We're not doing that. There will be no trailer. We're not having any Avengers 4 talk as well. But on a positive note, it looks like we're going to get it before December 5th. So as people are listening to this, it could have actually aired already. So it is imminent. We're getting this teaser trailer for Avengers 4, and I'm actually very excited to see what it's going to be. And I know we don't talk too much pop culture, so you know, anything you want to add really quick?
No, just You know my love and affliction for all things comic book. So, yeah. I'm curious to see what Marvel is going to do. And on the converse, shout out to DC, their DC platform online, the streaming platform with comic books, the Titan series. Hey, I'll go out on a limb. At me if you want, at Pete Rock on Twitter. Titans is better than anything and everything that the Arrowverse has put out to date. Bite me.
I can't argue that. Cannot argue that at all. Oh, one more thing to bring up. And I swear to God, we'll take a break and we'll actually talk video games. I have to talk about this. I have to. So Netflix has decided to tempt all fates of fates.
Yes.
And they're going to do a live action Cowboy Bebop. And I'm looking, breaking the fourth wall of Twitch. I'm looking directly in the camera and I say this. Netflix, you better not F this up. It is. That is my series. That my name, Vicious 696, I've said it a million times, came from that show. That's how much that show has meant to me over the years and just how much I cherish it. And you cannot screw this up. You cannot screw up these characters, that story, and what that anime has mean. Look, at a minimum, I'm going to tell you right now, if Watanabe and Yoko Kano are not a part of this, burn it all and throw it in a dumpster fire in the trash. I'm sure they will be. But she has to do the soundtrack for this. She has to. If the seatbelts aren't doing this, then I don't want it, right? And Watanabe, this is obviously his creation. This is his baby. So if he is not heavily involved with whatever the story is going to be with the casting, etc., don't do it. Simply do not do it, because that's how precious this is to me. So much so, and I'm saying this on this podcast, and I'm shamelessly plugging something else I'll do here soon. I've always wanted to do an audio commentary for Cowboy Bebop. And when this dropped, I said to myself, you know what? I need to get off my ass and just do it. So I'm gonna plan this out. I'm gonna do it right. I'm literally gonna write everything, and I'm gonna just sit down, watch all 26 episodes, hit the record button, and just do audio commentary and the movie too. I'm just going to do it. I've always wanted to do it. I'm going to do it because it's something that means that much to me. And I can't discuss Cowboy Bebop in a 1 hour podcast. I mean, the fact that I could do it per episode, give my thoughts per episode, I think would be the perfect way to do it. And if no one listens to it, fine. I'm doing it for me because it's something I wanted to do. So
I know I brought this up last week on the last episode. And I think it was, I think we brought it up on the after show about who could or should play Spike. I know that the character was born in Mars, and I'm asking you because you're probably the biggest, you know, Bebop fan I know. Does Spike have to be an Asian? Should it be cast as an Asian character? Because I know
that's tough, man.
Because I know
that's a tough one.
The basis of the character was you know, he was created as an homage to an Asian Japanese, you know, person. But he was born on Mars and he's got the green hair, et cetera, you know, bionics and stuff like that. Does the character have to be Asian?
I'm going to say no for him, but Faye, yes.
Yes.
Faye has to be Japanese. She has to be.
Okay.
Spike, no, but and not that it needs to, because I know everyone thinks it's going to be Keanu Reeves. No way. That would be horrible. No. Don't do Keanu Reeves. But a Keanu Reeves type who is a, you know, he's obviously part Asian. I mean, you totally can see it. So maybe a blend of it, but absolutely do not cast a known actor. I don't want a known actor to do this. Go get an unknown. Get someone that we have no idea about to be Spike. Same with Vicious. Don't cast a known person. Jet, I think you could get away with maybe use him as the familiar person as the intro into the world. And then Ed, oh my God, I don't know who they can get Ed, because it has to probably be a teen, you know, preteen type person, a kid. Going to have some amazing
chat. In our after show last episode, I was saying either Taron Egerton from the Kingsman series. Mm-hmm. Or the main character, the guy who played Baby in Baby Driver. I can't remember his name. It doesn't matter. But it was either one of those two, I think, could be a good role, you know, a good person. And then for Ed, I said the actress, the one that plays Shuri in Avengers, in Black Panther.
Yeah. She's too big, I think.
As an actress.
I think she's too, at this point now. I mean, we would have said this a year ago, then sure. But yeah, I think she's blown up too much to be the person. Mm. But anyway, I know we're talking way too much about this. So let's do this. I'm going to table this. I'm sure we'll talk about this 10 million more times in the future. But let's take a break. We got a couple ads this week. So let's take a break right now. We're going to play an ad and then we'll come back and we're going to start talking video games.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hey everyone, Paris here for Simple Contacts. They are the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes instead of heading to the doctor year after year just to renew your prescription for something you wear every day. You can do it on your own time and in terms just a few minutes. This is a vision care for the 21st century. So how does it work? Need to renew your prescription? Just takes 5 minutes. Simple Contacts vision test online. It'll be reviewed by a licensed doctor. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts. All you need is your current contacts, an internet connection, and 10 feet of space. Even if you're totally out of contacts, you've got an option for you too. And if you have an unexpired RX and need more contacts, just upload a photo of it to your doctor's information and order your lenses. They'll do all the hard work for you and take care of verifying and confirming your prescription. It's convenient. There are a million things demanding your time. Contact lenses should not be one of them. It's fast. Simple Contacts Vision Test is a self-guided test. It takes 5 minutes. Doing this live, folks. It's designed by an ophthalmologist and a licensed doctor. Reviews your test so you can skip the office visit, but not the care. It's also a 5-star experience. The reviews speak for themselves. Simple Contacts has all the brands and type of lenses you're familiar with, so you never have to shop around to find your lenses at a best price. It also saves you money. The vision test is only $20 compared to what you would do at an appointment, which could cost you upwards of $200. The contact lens and prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And best of all, we're offering a promotion to our listeners. So, if you want to take advantage of this, all you have to do is simply go over to simplecontacts.com/GTR to take advantage of that $20 offer. Again, that is simplecontacts.com /GTR. Use our promo code GTR for that $20 offer on your contact lenses. Again, that is Simple Contacts.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Pete, let's start this one off with GameStop. Their shares have hit an 8-month low, I believe it is.
Yep.
And the overall theme of what I want to talk about on this is GameStop in trouble? I know Michael Pachter, you know, Wedbush, all those guys are saying that a sale is most likely imminent. But beyond that, are they in trouble? The brick and mortar game store, is that a dinosaur? Is it going away? What are your thoughts?
I mean, the writing is on the wall. We've seen, I mean, go back, 10, 15 years ago, you had EB, was it Electronics Boutiques and all these other smaller stores, you know, that were targeted towards either console or cartridge or CD style, you know, game sales. We saw, wasn't it GameStop itself that was bought by Hot Topic?
I'm not sure on that.
I think it was simply because they wanted to be able to start. Because I think at that point they had seen the writing on the wall that they had to start expanding beyond just a hyper focused video game sales type strategy. Now, over the last 8 months, their stock has tumbled, 13-something percent down to about just under $13 on Friday. So, which is their biggest drop in general since March. You mentioned Michael Pachter says that he thinks that there's going to be a private equity sale imminent right before the holidays when it's expected to be their highest grossing mark of the year traditionally, right? Because it's the holidays, you know, they say it's a sale and I'm using air quotes, but that just means that they marked it up 10-15% so that they could tell you they gave you 20 off. It's not surprising that, you know, when stocks start to tumble, that investors start hitting them up for sales. And it's, you know, GameStop themselves mentioned that on Thursday they were talking to third parties about a possible sale. They're still in flux with regards to their CEO. Here's a name from the Microsoft past, Shane Kim. He's a board member of GameStop, former Microsoft exec. He was named interim CEO of GameStop, you know, early, you know, I think it was May, June or something like that, just before E3. So all signs are pointing to GameStop possibly not being that corner brick and mortar that you may have gone to regularly for your video games sales. Also think of what we're seeing with Amazon just running amok with everything in the digital sales space. You can, hell, even go so far as going, you know, calling, you know, was it Green Man Gaming, you know, CD Keys and all those other, you know, tertiary or adjunct style, you know, websites that sell you games digitally. It's becoming the market, you know, cornerstone. You don't need to go and to your, you know, you don't need to leave your house. You could just pick up your phone. You can pick up your iPad or your smart device, laptop, desktop, whatever. Go online, buy your code. It's the convenience of no longer requiring that, you know, that disc. I know that there's people who like to have that tangible good in their hand, you know, that opportunity to be able to go into, whether it be a Best Buy, an Amazon or a Walmart and trade it in and get some kind of value back towards a new purchase or a new game. But I think the writing is on the wall and this is going to be a big blockbuster shock to a lot of people. Cause not everybody is on board with the all digital, you know, movement. And so I don't think we'll see discs go away completely because we're still in an age where, you know, our infrastructure.
Well, according to Danny, they are.
Well, I think he's starting to switch that up. I think he's starting to finally see the light of, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel on that. But I think it's not gonna go the way of the dodo, which is my terminology du jour. But I would not be surprised if we start seeing something major from GameStop in the next 60 to 90 days.
Yeah, and agreed. Agreed on all points of what you're saying. I do think we're saying the new consoles will be out by the end of 2020. I think a version of GameStop will still exist where there will be stores that you can walk into, excuse me, and purchase hardware and peripherals and physical copies and digital codes. I think that will still exist a couple years from now. 5 years from now, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think once this next gen launches and is actually out in the wild, I think it goes away. I think if you're going to go to any brick and mortar stores, the only big one that's going to be really left is Walmart. And I'd even be as bold to say that Best Buy won't necessarily be the Best Buy that we see today 5 years from now either. It is very apparent that brick and mortar stores are going away. Sears just went away. JCPenney's about to go away. Kmart went away. I mean, all these traditional retail brick and mortar stores are gone. It's about, like you said, the Amazons of the world, you know, these digital distribution stores that you can go to now, a Green Man Gaming as an example. Obviously, Steam is another big one. GOG is another one on down the line. This is where people, as far as games go, this is where they're getting their content from now. They're getting it digitally. They're getting in that via that digital distribution channel. But as you also said, physical discs are not 100% dead yet, and they won't be anytime soon, because there are still pockets of the world that cannot take advantage of this digital distribution. So you will need physical copies of these titles to be able to take advantage of these games. Now, we also know on the flip side, the way that game development works now, it literally happens right up until the minute that these games go live. Mm-hmm. And there's usually these huge patches that come out. That's a whole nother conversation for another day on how people that don't have reliable digital distribution platforms get those patches. But for the most part, that's where everything's headed. So long story short, to answer this question, yeah, I think GameStop is 100% in trouble. I do think we're going to start to see some mass store closures over the next 18 months. And the GameStop, remember, like you said, back in the day, there used to be a gaming store in every damn strip mall in your city. You it was easy to find one. You're going to slowly start to see that go away, and it's going to be a lot harder to find those retail brick and mortar game stores, you know, like GameStop. And if you want to pick up a physical copy or walk in a store to get a video game, you're probably going to Walmart. And if not, you're going online to Amazon and having it shipped to you. That's just the reality of what's happening. So moving on from that, last week, we obviously talked a lot about Fallout 76 and just all the struggles that it's had, the big reduction in prices and everything. I don't necessarily want to repeat that because Bethesda is still dropping the ball even this week, but I'm sure you guys have seen a lot of stuff online. The other game and company I want to focus on, which is having a similar issue right now, is EA and Battlefield 5. Full disclosure, you guys already know, I went out to DICE a few weeks ago, did some capture footage, got to get an interview for Battlefield 5. I've played it. I've given my thoughts on it. I do think Battlefield 5 is a good game, but I also said even back then, I thought it was a huge mistake that their Battle Royale mode wasn't a Firestorm, was not dropping at launch. And we're starting to see the numbers come in, and we're looking at, I believe in the UK, a 63% reduction from Battlefield 4 to what we have for Battlefield 5. I believe that's the number. I could be mistaken, but I know it's very close. As well as EA has already discounted Battlefield 5 by 50%. So you can go pick it up right now for $30. So that right there kind of just tells you that the sales numbers are not what they're expecting them to be. And we kind of saw this coming, Pete. I mean, this is something that we'd been talking about over the past few weeks, that I believe not only was Battlefield 5 pushed back to the end of November versus where it was because of Red Dead 2, I also think because Battlefield 5 didn't have the modes ready for their basically their live game that they're trying to have right now. So it gave them some additional time to get some of that stuff ready, you know, with Tides of War and everything. And again, if you go play Battlefield 5 right now, if you're into Battlefield 5 and that world and how it works, fantastic. It's really fun. A lot of fun to play. But it doesn't, it's lacking what the quote unquote new hotness is that's attracting people right now. And that's just, to be frank, it's Battle Royale. It's what, in my opinion, what saved Call of Duty's ass this year is having Blackout. Because anytime you hear someone talk about Blops, they're talking about that Blackout mode. They ain't talking about zombies, except Danny. I love bring Danny. But people aren't talking about that. They're talking about Blackout. And I think Battlefield needed their version of that at launch to attract people to want to go pick it up at full retail price. Because guess what? I obviously got the game as a part of me going to the event and everything. So I have it. But if I had to go out and go buy it, I wouldn't have bought it at launch. I would have waited until the spring when the Firestorm mode came out, because that's what I wanted to play. Right. And that's still what I want to play. So, and I know then it's going to be discounted. And like I've already said, it's already half off. So imagine what it's going to be in the spring. I could probably go pick up Battlefield 5 for like $20. Yeah, you know? So what are your thoughts?
Well, when EA themselves sends out messages on Twitter, you know, with a try BFV hashtag, and you get to play it for 7 days for free, tells you a lot about what their expectations are and what the reality is of their sales numbers. They're trying to lure as many people into Battlefield as possible, because they see the writing on the wall, I think, that, hey, maybe Battlefield 5 isn't what we were expecting from, you know, from this, from a flagship / AAA franchise for them. I haven't seen, when was the last time you saw a game just drop and then within 30 days start offering 30 to 60% off of their original sales price?
Fallout 76. Oh, no, quick correction. I did say Battlefield 4 with the 63%. I meant Battlefield 1, 63% okay. drop okay. in sales. So again, that was what a year ago. That's how crazy that is. So yeah, rough. But I'm blanking on the title's name, but we have seen in recent history that happened with something else, another big game, and I'm blanking on it, but please continue. Maybe I'll remember.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, that offer was only 24 hours long, right? It was only enough for, you know, for them to get that done. I don't know if people can still do that. You know, get that hashtag try BFV. What is it, Paris? I can hear you.
Oh, I remember now. It's Titanfall 2.
Oh yeah.
another EA game.
Another EA game.
And what were you screaming 2 years ago? Why the hell are you launching this game
in the middle
against, and that was Battlefield 1. That was against Battlefield 1, right?
Yep.
Is that what it was?
Yep.
Yeah. Against Battlefield 1 and then whatever the Call of Duty was that year. So that's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw the writing on the wall, me personally, during the beta. Battlefield 5 for me. And it's not to take away from those that are enjoying it currently, because there's going to be a contingent of players who enjoy the Battlefield experience over the Call of Duty. They want that realism over arcadey experience, in a sense, you know. We've started to see the decline on Blackout itself. I mean, I think I posted this in the Discord a couple of weeks ago or a couple of days ago, where there was only about 20,000 viewers watching Blackout, and 15,000 of those happened to belong to Dr. Disrespect. So when 60%+ of your viewership is on one person, and by the way, PUBG had 50,000 viewers at that time, Where's all the hatred that, you know, that PUBG was getting? Why don't we have people beating down the door saying that Blackout is on the decline? That's my question, you know, and that's me just because I'm a PUBG apologist, right? So, and I'll accept that title any day. But are we seeing the decline of the Call of Duty title, you know, as the preeminent shooter now? And people are now saying, well, I would say probably, I'm going to go ahead and say it, even though I am the apologist, Fortnite is the preeminent shooter in the space. As cartoony as it is, it's still the number one shooter in the video game, you know, arena. But we saw Call of Duty, we saw the rise after launch. Has it maybe started tapering off and it's now second, possibly third place now? It's no longer the top dog anymore? Has the hype subsided?
I mean, the numbers don't lie, right? If that's what the numbers are saying, then that is what it is. I think in the overall scope, the Call of Duty IP itself is still the big dog in the house. Forget it being whether it's the top shooter or not. When it comes to making money, it's still the GOAT. Right. I mean, you know, look, Rockstar only comes around about every 4 or 5 years, but Call of Duty's every damn year. So Activision is still making hand over fist with that title. So you can't argue that. That is what it is. But as far as what, quote unquote, the streaming crowds, what they want to watch, what they consider entertainment, it's Fortnite. We know that. I mean, that just goes without question. And it's showing no signs of slowing down. It is what it is. And going back to, you know, originally what brought all this up with Battlefield, they don't have anything that can compete with that. Because as much as it may be fun to play Battlefield, I don't think it's that fun to just sit down and watch it for hours on end. I don't think it has that 30 seconds of what's the word I'm looking for? It's that 30 seconds of fun, I guess, is the thing, that hook where something's happening really quick to keep you excited and to keep you engaged, because you can have some very slow moments in a Battlefield type game, because it's not an arcade shooter. It's more of I'm blanking on words today, folks, but it's more of a, not a realistic shooter, but you know what I mean? It's more
arcade.
You know what I mean? It's not arcade-y. It's one.
Oh, you mean Battlefield? It's more realistic.
Battlefield. Thank you. Well, yeah.
Battlefield has more of a sense of realism than that.
Look, with my St. Petersburg education, I was trying to figure out a fancy word and I couldn't. So thank you.
I'm going to throw this little quick tidbit in here. Shout out to Fortnite real quick. 9.2 million unique players in their NA and EU Winter Royale qualifiers. Over 48 hours, Thursday and Friday. That's insane.
Yeah. Numbers
9.2 million plus unique players. That's an absurd number of yeah. players. And that's explains why they're the GOAT right now. You can't stop that train.
No, you cannot. Absolutely cannot. But anything else with the Battlefield stuff, or should we just go ahead and move on?
No, I think we can move on. I'm curious to see. It's funny the quiet coming out of EA and DICE with regards to what their Battle Royale offering is going to be, and we've got what, less than 60 days now until they drop that.
Oh no, we know what it is. They detailed it. I mean, they even when I went out to the event, they've talked about it. If you again, I don't think EA does a great job of actually marketing it. But if you go to the Battlefield site, you can read up on what Firestorm is. It'll tell you exactly what it is. You know, so it's not like they don't know what it's going to be or what it's going to do. We don't have a solid date for it yet. We just know it's coming in the spring. And Criterion is actually the ones that are making that mode, not DICE. So it looks fun. It looks like it's going to be a different take on BR. And I'm actually very curious and excited to get hands on with it and play it. But like I said, I think they may be missing their window for it of having people actually care, because it probably should have been at launch. And I think definitely would have helped out Battlefield, you know, right now, as far as just retail sales go.
I guess my concern is that I have to go out and dig for it. It's not what you would expect from EA marketing, I guess, right? Because EA marketing, usually they're all over the place and you can't go get away from it. But the fact that I have to go digging and searching and looking for this, I don't know. For me, it's concerning, especially knowing how EA's marketing has worked in the past for each and almost every one of their titles.
Yeah.
You know?
No, agreed. Yeah, agreed. Completely agree on that. And I just... Hey, look, we'll see with just EA as the company what they do as we roll into 2019. Obviously, Anthem is going to be coming up in February, and I know BioWare's been doing some live streams here recently on it, and they've been pretty well received, which is good. We'll see what Anthem's going to be when it comes out at launch. I'm very curious. But another thing, just real quick on this, and we'll move on. Just speaking of BioWare, you know, Casey Hudson had a big write up on his blog. They've obviously teased Dragon Age for the Game Awards, and what else? And then he also teased with the future of Mass Effect as well. And they actually have Anthem is in a place now that it's in t- take-home mode. So that basically means the devs have a version of Anthem that they can play at home versus being in the studio working on it, so they can get a different feel and a different perspective of it, you know, from our point of view as the gamer. So that's good. And, you know, I've said it a million times. I'm very curious to see what Anthem is going to be. Just have to wait and see. But speaking of the Game Awards, how about this, Pete? Let's take another break and play our second ad. And when we come back, let's talk about our predictions for the Game Awards.
Sounds good.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Episode 816 of the Gamertag Radio podcast is sponsored by Nighthawk Pro Gaming from Netgear, rated 2018's top performing gaming router by PC Gamer and IGN. There's no question that online gaming demands a stable and low latency connection. Running multiple connected devices will cause network congestion that most gateways simply can't handle. Switching your existing gateway or router to an XR500 gaming router will improve your online connectivity. It's the easiest way to improve your online gaming experience, and it has the biggest impact. You shouldn't have to compete with other online devices for bandwidth. Save the competition for the game. The XR500 router creates an express lane just for your gaming to give you incredible speed and no lag. With this high-performance gaming router, you will have complete control of your gaming experience. The XR500 is purpose-built to lower your ping, stabilize your connection, and help you game at incredible speeds. Keep your game alive with features like geofiltering, traffic prioritization, and device management. The Nighthawk Pro Gaming Router transforms your gaming experience and gives you the power to win. Visit netgear.com/NPG and learn how you can join the no-lag crew.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, and we're back. Game Awards, December 6th. So as people are listening to this / watching this on Twitch, that'll be a few days from now. And, you know, like we said in the past, I'm actually really anticipating this one. I think this show is really starting to come into its own and starting to hit a maturity level that we can actually look at this from a gaming standpoint, from our industry, from our community. We can look at this as a prestigious event now versus just something that B and C level actors are forced to go to by their PR people and present awards. So I'm excited for this one. We've looked at the nomination list, and Pete, I know you wanted to kind of get into some predictions. So do you want to kick that off?
I mean, might as well just jump right up to the top, right? I think I don't want to go through each and every one of them. I think they've got something like 20 something plus, you know, categories, and I don't want to go through that. I don't think we have enough time in the show for the for that. So I think we'll start off. Let's just go for the big one, right? Game of the Year. And I may have said some contentious comments a couple of days ago with what I thought was, you know, game of the year with regards to Monster Hunter World. Me personally, I still don't think it's game of the year, but that's my personal opinion. So right now they've got Assassin's Creed Odyssey from Ubisoft. They've got Celeste from Matt Makes Games, God of War from Sony Santa Monica, Marvel Spider-Man from Insomniac, Monster Hunter World by Capcom, and Red Dead Redemption 2 by Rockstar. What are you going for? What are you saying?
I'm not doing this from what I think it should be. I'm just going to do it from what I
think it's going to win. Okay.
Yeah. So Red Dead 2.
Wow. Okay. I think God of War takes this one personally.
Okay. No, and I look at this list, wouldn't shock me if any of them won. To be honest, the one that would shock me would be Assassin's Creed of this list. But
okay.
But other than that, yeah.
I think you've gone on record saying God of War is your personal
game of the year. But okay. I've also not played Red Dead, so I'm speaking from a level of ignorance.
Or Spider-Man.
Exactly. Don't remind me. It's ridiculous. I have not played those two games yet.
Okay.
But excuse me. Which, by the way, just speaking of Red Dead, I know Red Dead, we can't talk about it because neither you and I are holding out for the PC version.
Right.
But Red Dead Online is out, and I've seen various people, you know, some good, some bad, but overall good about that mode. So that's great to see, and we'll obviously see how that. I mean, they have their own BR mode as well, you know. So here nor there. But moving on. So what's the next category you want to talk about?
Best game direction. This is awarded to a game studio for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. First one, A Way Out from Hazelight Studios and EA. Detroit Become Human by Quantic Dream. God of War by Sony Santa Monica. Marvel Spider-Man by Insomniac. And Red Dead Redemption 2 by Rockstar.
Now, here's where I think God of War will win. And I also think they should win. Because they took a franchise and they reinvented it. And I think that should give them the kudos they deserve for that. I mean, yeah, Red Dead was already an open world game. Obviously, we know Rockstar has experience with that. Spider-Man, again, another open world game. You know, Detroit, you know, it's you look down the list. They've done things with those games, those studios anyways, that they've done before. Whereas I feel like Sony Santa Monica is doing something completely different with this IP. And I think they should get kudos for that. So I really hope they do win Best Game Direction.
I want to say, where's my late pass on here? Here's my late pass. I'm late. I apologize. I was wrong on Detroit Become Human. Wow, that game is a lot of fun. I'm playing it over the last couple of weeks. And so when I saw Detroit Become Human on this, I was just like, wow, I can definitely see how and why someone would give it that. If you asked me as a personal question, I'd say Detroit Become Human or A Way Out, simply because A Way Out as, and I don't want to call it small fry, but I don't think it was as large of a title as EA maybe expected it to do. But the ability or the requirement to play from a co-op perspective really lends a lot to that game, right? Like you always see co-op as a way to play with your friends, but a lot of times it's two nomadic lone wolves and with an occasional opportunity to do things together. A Way Out requires you to work hand in hand and communicate and talk to your co-op player. So I really like what they did. Me personally, I'm going to say Spider-Man. Call me a fanboy. I don't care, but I really like what Insomniac did with Spider-Man. I actually said this. I hung out with Danny yesterday and I think I said this to him, but I think the failure, in my opinion, of what Sunset Overdrive did, and how Insomniac Games, you know, how I wouldn't call it an abject failure, but it wasn't as successful as they had originally intended. I think it gave them the extra boost, and I don't think we would have gotten the Spider-Man we got, you know, this year without them having that stumbling block with Sunset Overdrive. So
I'd agree with that. I definitely agree with that. That game gave them the building blocks to what we eventually got now with Spider-Man.
Right. So for me, I'm going to say Spider-Man.
Right on. Let's do a couple more of these because, again, it's a long list. So
yes.
I'll pick one so I can give my two cents on this topic. Best ongoing game. And the nominees are Destiny 2, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, Overwatch, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Destiny, no, because they dropped the ball. They dropped the ball during the year, and yeah, they've really fixed it here recently, but no, for sure not Destiny. Shocker, you know. But I think Fortnite will win, but it should be Rainbow Six, in my opinion. Because you look at what Rainbow Six started out as, and actually there's a great example of a game that had poor sales. They righted the ship and it has just turned into this amazing esport now with just they have their roadmap down. You know how the seasons work. It has become a fantastic title. I really think that is, in my opinion, the best ongoing game. You know, Overwatch obviously has its huge audience, and we know Fortnite is just a juggernaut. So that's why I think Fortnite will win in this quote unquote popularity contest. But the real winner, in my two cents, should be Rainbow Six Siege.
I don't disagree with you with any of your points. I mean, seeing how Rainbow Six has gone, like you said, went, you know, I don't think they had the launch they expected. They kind of hid under the shadow of other titles. And now we've got things like the Six Invitational that happen every year, you know, for tournaments. They're an esports regular, but how do you stop the juggernaut? You know, how do you stop what Fortnite is doing in Epic Games? So, I mean, I think at this point, although No Man's Sky, you could probably say I wouldn't say 1A, but something to look to. The way they turned around and righted that ship, similar to the way Ubisoft did with Rainbow Six Siege, the way Hello Games turned that dumpster fire into what we're having now is a No Man's Sky. It's basically the Division 1.8. It's, I don't know. I see a lot of people playing it, man. It's improved. It's improved dramatically from what people got at launch. So you do have to give them kudos. Maybe not a lot. Maybe not a whole plateful, but at least a couple spoonfuls.
I don't know about that, but okay, that's your opinion. We can agree to disagree.
Okay.
I get what you're saying with Hello Games. Yes, the games had a great turnaround from what it was at launch, but I will contend it is still nowhere near what they promised before it launched. And that will always stick in the back of my head on that. Glad that it's had some kind of turnaround. I hope, you know, there's obviously a bigger population of people playing the game now and enjoying it. But it is quite frankly a game that I will never play. Just 2 cents.
Okay.
So let's move on to one final one. And this would be best narrative. So for that, Detroit Become Human, God of War, Life is Strange 2, Episode 1, Marvel Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption 2. Now, I think Red Dead will wind up winning this one as well. But in my opinion, and again, I'm speaking from a level of ignorance because I ain't played all the games on here, I'm gonna stick with God of War. What do you think?
I think God of War wins it, but if you asked me, if it's my personal opinion, if I was the one handing the envelope to whoever's going to be on stage, I think it's Detroit Become Human. I think the storytelling in this, the and I don't want to say racially charged, but the narrative given by the writers for this story with regards to can androids be humans? Can they be considered as a race? The juxtaposition of freedom versus slavery. There's a lot of targeted points in this game that open up for discussion. I actually had a conversation about this with my daughter, who is the impetus for getting Detroit Become Human, because she loves the lead character, the actor that plays the lead character, Marcus. So for me, I'm going to say Detroit Become Human by Quantic Dream.
Yeah, fair enough. I can totally see that. And again, just to wrap this up, when you go down the complete list and you look at all the nominees for all the various topics, you can make an argument in every category for at least two or three games, which is great. And that's kind of the whole point. There isn't these clear cut, everything else just stands out from the rest. You have so many high quality titles that came out this year that, again, it's why I'm very excited for the Game Awards and for the celebration of the gaming industry as a whole. Sure, there has to be a winner in every category, but you're going to see all these games get some kind of shine, you know, during the award show on the 6th. And not to mention the Russo brothers are going to be there to do something. And I would assume we already have the Avengers 4 trailer. There's no way in hell that Disney is going to debut the Avengers 4 trailer at the Game Awards. So my guess is maybe we get the Avengers game teaser, you know, from Square Enix. I would love to see that. Because, I mean, that's the other part of the show. We're going to get a lot of world premieres that are going to happen there. So I'm also excited to see what those will be as well. Like we hinted earlier, EA may be, BioWare may be showing off a new Dragon Age at that. So excited for it. Definitely excited for the Game Awards coming up on the 6th.
Same here. And we'll be doing, we'll be doing that co-stream here on the channel.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, stop by.
Yeah, definitely stop by. Unfortunately, I will not be able to attend. I will be at my wife's holiday party, most likely drinking some vodka.
There you go.
But let's go ahead and wrap this up. Again, we're in the holidays, folks. There's not a ton of news, but hopefully maybe coming next week after the Game Awards, there'll be some announcements that we'll be able to talk about, which will be good. So yeah, so I guess we should talk about our, as far as our schedule for next week. The Game Awards are actually on Wednesday when we would normally record. I'm not available, so are we going to get solo Pete again? What are we doing? I'm putting you on the spot.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have zero.
We'll figure that out. Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. Yeah, we'll definitely have another episode during the week. This week, you know, our normal Thursday one. We'll just have to figure out what we're going to do with content wise on that. But like I said, Game Awards will be on the 6th. Avengers, there's all kind of crazy stuff happening. So by the time we reconvene next Sunday to record for our Monday episode, I'm sure we'll have a ton of things to be able to talk about. So that'll be really good. So Pete, anything else before we get out of here?
No, Titan RTX. You want one or no?
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So yeah, that was on the show topic too. Really quick on that. I would not touch that thing with 20-foot pole personally, because kind of like even the article that we're reading said, it's most likely going to be like $2,500 to $3,000, number one. Way too pricey. And I'm talking from a gamer standpoint, from us, the people that are watching this. There's absolutely no need to get that. And like I've said before, personally, I wouldn't get a 2080 or a 2080 Ti either, because it's all based on this RTX stuff. There isn't enough RTX games out right now to justify buying one of those cards, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. Especially if you already have a 1080 or a 1080 Ti, I would stick with the Pascal card. I would not jump to that and pay that premium for the performance bump that you're going to get versus the price that you're going to pay isn't worth it, in my opinion. I think, like I've said before, I'm literally saving my pennies right now. I'm building my new PC in 2020 for Cyberpunk, and it will not be one of these cards that go in it. It's going to be the generation after that, guaranteed. There's just no need. Unless you don't have one of these higher end cards right now, if you're not already playing in 1440p or 4K, then maybe you would consider it. But I would still argue then go try and find a 1080 Ti on discount now versus paying what you would full retail for these 2080 cards. And especially with that Titan one, I just think it's overpriced and unneeded.
Yep, I agree. I mean, what is it? Darksiders 3. You can't even play Darksiders 3 on Epic or Max, which is 4K 60 with a 2080 Ti.
Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah, it is. And yeah, not to mention all the optimization that's come in from development. It's just, to me, NVIDIA had to put out something. So they put these cards out. RTX is the next step in being able to market and all that kind of stuff. So I get it. I'm pretty sure PlayStation 5 and Xbox Scarlett are going to be taking advantage of RTX. I would personally wait until then to even worry about any kind of type of RTX games right now. We're still in very early days of that tech. It's simply not worth the price of admission, in my opinion. I wouldn't. If I got to spend the money on it, I'm not doing it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Yep. So, okay. One more time for feedback right now.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, good show this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody on Twitch that was watching us. This has been episode, wait a minute. See, I was going to say the wrong number, but now I'm not. Episode 816 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That's Pete. We will see you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.